gentlemen, and welcome to another episode in the Automated Millionaire podcast or videocast series. We are in our second series, and we are almost about to wrap up the series, at least for now, in which we're looking at the mistakes business owners make. And I'm highlighting mistakes because I feel like very often mistakes can give us a lot of valuable lessons. And so if you can avoid them, you can avoid having to go down the path of having to bear the grunt and the pain of having made these mistakes. If you're carrying out these mistakes already, well, maybe I'm hopeful that I might tap your awareness so that maybe you can make a fix to the mistake. Again, the reason for these with these mistakes and the highlighting of them is that they often cost us a lot of money. And so that's expensive when we're carrying out our business and so on, and we're trying to make some good money and so on. We should not waste a lot of money in the business by mistakes. So in this episode here, what I want to highlight is the mistake of staying in your garage mentality. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean by that that when we start out, we're a small business and we're like, you know, we're just trying to get something going. Maybe we are a mechanic and we are making a machine and you're putting parts together and servicing and I'm becoming a real good expert at this kind of machine. And maybe it's a lawnmower or, you know, something that does a great benefit to the owner. And maybe you're starting out in your garage, just like we've heard the stories of, you know, the Hewlett Packard and the Apple and Microsoft or whoever else it is. I'm not sure all the names are correct there, but a lot of them, they started, every business started out small, right? Unless they got a ton of funding money, they just started out small and very often started in the garage, right? And what I want to do is I want to highlight the fact that I want you not to stay in the garage mentality. When we start out, we're happy to charge a little just to get some business going. Then we get more traction, we get a name, we build a reputation. Hey, we got a great product, we got a great service, we're really customer-minded, we're customer-centric. And so everybody's getting a very great deal and they come coming back to you. The business starts growing and it actually grows and grows and grows. And soon enough, you're staying in that garage mentality. You're like, I cannot charge too much because it has to be affordable for the end client. But what has happened is that you might have grown to such a position that now you need to think about having, you know, dealerships. And dealerships need a cut of that whole pie too. So that retail price that you are offering to the market, well, the dealer will need a cut of that to have any incentive to take on your product. And they might need at least 20%, maybe even much more than 20%. Some dealerships might need, you know, I need 50% out of the sales price. I need that for my organization and my administration, and then a little bit of profit. And then you might even grow so far that you might need a distributor on top of the dealership. Now, maybe the distributorship is not looking for 50% of the retail price, but whatever the case that it is, it's at least, you know, let's say a 10% extra or something. So the more people as you grow, the more that you probably will have to cut that pie into slices and, you know, pay somebody off a little bit. And I don't mean a bribe. I mean like that they get a piece of the action for their expertise that they're coming with. They're coming with, you know, sales distribution. They're coming with market presence if it's, you know, a dealership. They're coming with their clientele. Well, all of them need to make money. They are in it to make some money, more than likely. Maybe they have a bigger cause and so on, but they need money to build their end outcome, their cause and so on. So all of them need a little bit piece of that pie. So if you stay in what I see is that you have stayed in that garage mentality, that this unit used to be $1,200 and now you're cringing because really, if you look through the economics of it, maybe it needs to be $2,400. Maybe it needs to be twice the price that you used to have. Maybe it actually needs to be almost three times the price you used to have. But you need to kind of outgrow that garage mentality because, first of all, you cannot have dealerships and you cannot have distributorships and so on if you want that and if you don't allow enough of the pie for them to be satisfied and yet leave you with a good sound business. And where I typically see it as a business consultant is that they keep operating with a gross profit margin. So the percentage of once we pay, you know, our materials that goes into producing this item or this service or something, and the labor that goes into it, you know, once we take the, if it's a production company, we take the production cost of making things happen and subtract that out of our sales price, then we're left with too small a percentage out of the entire sale price to now pay overheads and not least our profits. And so in other words, we're really struggling to ever make this a profitable endeavor. We'll see if we have a very large company and we are operating with gross profit margins of, you know, 26% or something. You know, it's like, well, after that, so let's say that now you have, you know, $600,000 left in gross profits, but your overheads might be $500,000, your finances might be $150,000, and you know, soon enough you have a deficit. And so at the end of the day, you gotta make sure that your gross profit margin is large enough. And sometimes, and this is what I've seen, is that some of these businesses I've helped, they started off very small. They started in a garage, sometimes literally, and then they grew, had a lot of success and make a great product, are known in the industry to be a market leader and so on. But they stayed in that mentality of, I can't charge too much. And so I want you to understand that first of all, from a business survival point of view, it's like at some point, you really got to make sure that your gross profit margin is sound. Some of these examples I have in mind, you know, they entail even products that are not volume based, they're not volume movers. So for instance, if we are looking at what's called a price elasticity, it means that if I reduce my sale price, my retail price by 10%, right, then how much extra sales do I get? If we have something where it's like very price elastic, it means that, you know, I reduce 10% and I get a extra volume sales of, let's say, 30%. So I get much more sales by some reduction of my price. And equally, if I, the same token, if I increase my price, then all of a sudden, even if I increase it just a little bit, like 5% or something, then I get a severe drop in my volume. Well, a lot of these clients that I'm thinking of right now, I don't want to mention any names or something, is that, you know what, even if you increase the price by 10%, 15%, 20%, you wouldn't really see a whole lot of people jumping off and saying, I'm not buying it. Yes, if they can get a similar product that's equally well-known, equally, you know, level of performance, service, quality, yes, then they might look for substitution, but you might find that there are far more people in your clientele who rather prefer your brand, and even with the higher price will prefer to, okay, I'll spend the extra money, it's a really good machine, and I know that that's the one I want. So in other words, you'll probably find that you have room to make much greater retail price, and now you can afford, you know, the dealership and the distributorship and so on. If you have a product, however, where it's like, you know, let's say the gasoline station, we all know that, you know, you have this gasoline station right here, it has a certain price, and you go down the road like 400 yards and there's the next gas station and they have pretty much the same price. Well, for that, you know, the gas, whether I get it at, you know, one gas station or the other gas station, honestly, probably doesn't really matter to me at all. It's gas is gas, it's same octane or whatever, I can drive my car and I just want to go for, you know, I just want to cheat, right, and be on my road again. They have to differentiate in other ways and make their margins elsewhere. That's why they have nice convenience stores. And if you have one gas station that's nicer than the other one, it's more well lit, maybe has more offering in the store, maybe there's nicer restrooms, you know, maybe it feels safer, more secure, you know, more well lit and cameras and security and something, then, you know, that will be preferred over the others. So they cannot compete on the price on gas. They can probably get away with a nicer gas station, can probably get a premium on a lot of the convenience store items. over the other one, even though they're right side by side. But for most of the business, and for the purpose of this conversation here, this episode, I'm talking about the companies that started off small and they were building it themselves, selling it themselves directly to the client, and that set a certain price. And now they kind of stay in the mentality that their price, yeah, it has increased a little bit over the years because of small inflation, but they really didn't take that giant leap when, hey, now we are so big that now we have partnerships, we have dealerships, we have distributorships. Well, now you need really to escalate it up quite a bit more. And you can probably get away with it, especially the better the product, the better the quality, the better the service, the better reputation, the better the brand that you have created. And I think for the most part, it's more a mental mind shift and mindset that's difficult to overcome, rather than it is your clients that will, you know, pop off and not be a customer going forward and hammer you. You may get some comments in the market that, oh my God, they got so expensive and so on, but you'll find it's probably only a, let's call it for the sake of our argument, a handful compared to all the others who are going to be totally loyal, totally understandable because, hey, it was too cheap to begin with, probably anyways. I hope this served you well. I see a lot of businesses that do that, and some of them are even bigger businesses. Some of them are even publicly traded businesses. I've been part of several businesses that kind of have stayed in that garage mentality where I could see that I'll work on how to bring efficiency up and cost down and so on. But at the end of the day, it's just simply because they did not equate enough space, enough margin in the pricing over the cost to make things happen. So now they keep struggling. Let that not be you. Let you be one of those who say, okay, let me look at my situation and go and have a look if I can maybe do some adjustment. If you're too scared to do too much of an adjustment, well, then do it incrementally, and then at least you're easing away towards it. But my experience has been that you'll be surprised how much you can do and get away with it. And I don't mean get away with it from a nasty point of view, hey, I'm going to stick it to my clients, my customers, and so on. But I mean by the fact that you were probably too inexpensive already. The few who are going to bulk to add it too much, well, maybe they're not really going to be your clients. Maybe they want the cheap thing, and then you can go to your competitor who's selling the cheap thing. You may be very scared that, oh, well, it's going to help my competitors and so on. But you know what? Your competitors are probably looking at the same problem, or maybe they are actually still in that garage, still working themselves and still selling directly and so on. And maybe that's a few units, and maybe you don't need to worry about that too much. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope this will give you an inspiration to maybe look at your situation and see how you can better and improve your business from this episode. This is Mikael Pitzner. I hope you'll hit the like button. I hope you subscribe, and I hope you share this episode with somebody who might need to hear it. And I invite you to my website, theautomatedmillionaire.com, on which you can find more free training, and you can also avail yourself of some other free resources that I give out there. I thank you so much for your time today, and I hope to see you in next episode.